Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. In the previous chapter, Jesus had spoken in several different ways, including parables, about the fact that he knew that he was going to be rejected, and he knew that he was going to be killed, and he knew that the very people that he was with were going to be, many of them, crying for his crucifixion. The religious leaders of the day. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14, this is God's word. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. So what was going on? Well, Jesus knew that at the end of all things, there's going to be a wonderful wedding banquet. It's going to be a marvelous celebration. We're not going to a funeral, we're going to a party. It's going to be great. It is the wedding celebration of the bride of Christ and God the Son. And this is glorious. And those who are in Christ look forward to this. It's going to be grand. It's going to be wonderful. But Jesus knew that the first group to get the invitation was the Jewish people. Jesus not only knew the Scriptures, but he is the Word through whom all things were created. And so Jesus wasn't kind of trying to puzzle through this and figure out what's going to happen. Jesus knew the final outcome. And he knew the short-term suffering. He knew that he was going to be rejected, He knew that he was going to be killed. So Jesus tells this story. The story of the kingdom of heaven. He had been preaching since he started his public ministry. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is something the Jews had talked about and looked forward to for generations, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, what does it take? Well, John's gospel tells us the story of Nicodemus being told by Jesus, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You can't just earn this. It is beyond your capacity. God has to give you new birth, spiritual birth. So the kingdom of heaven, Jesus speaks of, is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. They refused to come. It wasn't they didn't get the memo. It wasn't that they didn't understand. They had been invited, and now when they're summoned, they say, no, not coming. Can you imagine if you had prepared a big deal? You invited a bunch of people and they just blew it off. So he sent more servants, urging them to come, and they ignored those servants, and some of the people who were invited beat the servants who came to get them to come and even killed some of the messengers. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the history of the Jewish people. He's talking about the fact that from generation after generation, those who proclaimed the word of God were not treated as heroes. They were treated over and over as villains. They suffered because the people didn't want to hear the word of God. John the Baptist comes as the final Old Testament prophet. And he ends up getting his head chopped off after being imprisoned for telling the truth, for saying what God says about sexual immorality. Because John the Baptist said what God says about sexual immorality, he became an enemy of the state, the government. Said, you can't talk that way. We're not going to allow it. You and I can't imagine living in a society where the government treats God's word as hate speech, can we? Folks, it is already happening. It's already happening. In Scandinavia, in the United Kingdom, in Canada, and in certain communities here in the United States, the government has decided that they're going to join in the promotion of sexual immorality, and anybody who calls it sexual immorality is a hater. I'm just telling you, the suffering for righteousness' sake that we experience in this country is tiny compared to what most of our brothers and sisters around the world today and throughout history have experienced. But we better recognize that the truth has always been unpopular with mankind. The masses are not seeking truth. Jesus said, the light has come into the darkness, and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. People don't want it. It wasn't just a problem the Jews had. It's a problem humans have. Humans like us.
In Psalm 145, we read, "One generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts." God is pleased when we share His love with the future generations. One meaningful way you can share Yahweh to the next generation is by leaving a gift in your will to Ware's Valley Ranch. The ranch is home and school to children from all over the country who need a safe haven. Please pray about how you might help support these kids and consider joining Legacy 145. Legacy 145 is a growing group of people. People who see this as a meaningful way to thank God for all they have been blessed with. You can learn more about it by going to wvr.org and click on the link for Legacy 145. Again, find the link for Legacy 145 on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
And so, the messengers were mistreated and killed. Verse 7, the king was enraged. Does God get enraged? You better believe it. Read the book. Well, I don't like to think of God like that. Well, you're an idolater. Repent. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Jesus had already told his disciples when they were in Jerusalem, and his disciples were saying, "Look, do you see these huge stones? Isn't this marvelous?" They were there at the temple. Jesus said, "Do you see these huge stones? This is all going to be torn down. This is going to be destroyed." What was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that the city of Jerusalem, including the temple, would be destroyed within that generation. How did he know that? Okay, let's go back. I want to remind you, he is God incarnate. And as God, he knew everything. As man, he knew everything the Father told him. He listened to the Father, and he believed the Father, and he obeyed the Father, and he spoke the words that the Father gave him. So, Jesus knew what was coming. Jesus knew that his rejection by the Jewish people would not be the end of the story. Jesus knew that his execution by the Roman authorities would not be the end of the story. There would be destruction for that city. So what did the king do? He said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but I guess we're not going to have a party." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets, gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. In Luke's telling of this story, because Jesus told the story more than once, apparently, that account says he told his servants, "Go and compel them to come in." Okay? Not just invite them. Bring them. And so the servants did as they were told by the king. They brought people who you and I would probably not want at our party. A lot like what happened. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, God deliberately chose the nobodies in order to shame those who think they're somebody. So, the banquet hall was filled with guests. Now it's all good, right? Well, there's another point here. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Now, why would that be a problem? I mean, if you've just been brought in off the street, We can hardly expect that you'd be dressed for a banquet. I mean, you didn't even plan on going to a party when you got up this morning. Why would the king be upset with a guy for not wearing wedding clothes? He knows that they were just brought in off the street. Answer, the king provides wedding clothes. He provides whatever you need. You go to a restaurant, a nice restaurant today that requires a jacket and tie for men. If you show up without a tie, they'll give you one. Okay? They provide. Well, let me tell you, the king didn't just provide some old thing from a closet in the back. He provided wedding garments. He provided celebratory wardrobe. Imagine a wedding in our day where the bridesmaids aren't sent to the bridal shop to buy their dresses. The bridesmaids are given dresses. Would that be nice? Some of you would vote for that. You've been in a bunch of weddings. The groomsmen, instead of being told, we need this many of you to go and rent your outfits here because then the groom gets his for free. Instead, you're given outfits to wear. Well, who could afford to do that? Oh, how about a king? Okay? This is a king who's giving out wedding garments, and some jerk who's brought to a feast decided, no, I'll just stick with what I got on. Thanks. I'm more comfortable in this outfit. I'm not going to do that. I think I look good. You know, I didn't ask to come here. They brought me. And I'm just going to be me. Okay? There are a whole lot of folks today who think they're just fine. I don't need to change. I am beautiful just the way I am. Guess what? Our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Our best stuff falls way short. And so if we think we're going to come into God's presence, into the kingdom of heaven, if we think we're going to come to the celebration without anything getting changed, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't want to change. I'm comfortable with who I am and the way I live, and I think everybody ought to just get on board with that. This is the way God made me. I'm just going to stick with what feels right to me. You're going to hell. Jesus said that the king replied, bind him and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's one of the phrases Jesus used to describe hell. If you think you don't need the righteousness of Christ, then you're not going to be at the party. You will be cast into outer darkness. Jesus promised.
Well, Pastor, I see that is in the text, but I just frankly find it hard to worship a God who would send anyone to hell.
Well, you're still going to have to bow down. You're still going to have to confess Jesus is Lord, but it's going to be too late. And you will spend forever in the lake of fire.
Pastor, I don't think you ought to talk like that. I mean, that's very off-putting.
Really? What you're saying is that when the word of God is declared, a lot of people are going to go, that's what this story's about. That's precisely what this story is about. People's response to the truth of God's word is not, as a group, to say, wow, that's great. Here am I, Lord. Have your way. That's not the natural response of man. The natural response of man is to say no. 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 Are you kidding? turn my life over to someone else? Stop trying to do what I want and start focusing on what God wants? I'm sorry, maybe someday, but right now I've got a lot of living to do. You don't have a lot of living to do. You got a lot of dying to do. If you think that if we just learn how to share the good news appropriately, it'll be irresistible. Everybody's going to want to get saved. No, they're not. Somebody should have explained that to Jesus, shouldn't they? Maybe he wouldn't have ended up on the cross, and then we could all go to hell. The only way we could be saved was for Jesus to take the punishment we deserve. But if you reject his invitation and you insist on staying just as you are not going to experience the beauty of God's abundant provision. I love this description of the party. My oxen and fattened cattle, plural, have been butchered and everything is ready. Apparently the king serves meat. Ha ha! Hallelujah! So Pastor, prior to the flood, a man was only supposed to eat plants. Yeah, that was prior to the flood. Okay? Since that time, meat is available. And when God set the menu for Elijah was living in the ravine, Cherith Brook. When God set the menu for Elijah, he had meat and bread flown in daily. Well, it's going to be a celebration. It's going to be a great time. But if your response to the invitation is to say no, then you won't be there. You won't be there. All of you are receiving an invitation. All of you. It's not some are invited. For many are invited, but few are chosen. What makes the difference? You can tell who's chosen by those who, instead of doing what they were doing before, which was saying no, 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 are changed by grace. And they say, oh yes. Oh yes, that's what I need. If you want to yield your life to Jesus, he's not going to say, no, 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 you're not one of the chosen. I'm sorry, but you know, nope, not on the list. If you want to know Jesus, that's because God has done a work in you and he's drawing you to him. Don't resist. And don't insist that, well, I'll come, but only if I can keep this outfit. The king is offering you wedding garments. Be sure to change. By his grace, you lay down all the old and you receive the new. It is his grace, it is his power, it is his work, and he is inviting you to join the feast.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.